Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 13 of The Hard Truth, Inside the Football Industry Podcast, with me, Philip Heidson, and Dara McAnthony, Chairman and Co-Owner of Peterborough United. And happy to report, Dara, that you had a good weekend this weekend and a 2-1 win away at Oxford.
Yeah, it was a really funny one because the circumstances, I mean, the manager rang me on Friday and he was like, we got like 12 fitness tests tomorrow. I was like, for fuck's sake. To be fair, look, the week before I spoke about character and about, you know, grinding out wins and, you know, late goals and doing whatever. They did it on Saturday. They did it on Wednesday or whatever against Wickham. We dominated Wickham in a cup game with our second stringers, well, our squad. And, you know, had 20 shots in the first half, should have been 4-0 up. And it was one of them games where suddenly Wickham score a goal and you're thinking we're out of the cup. And it's a cup we want to win. And, you know, he brought a few players on and Jono scored a late equaliser. So we came. So the character setting was there. Then on Saturday, it was the walking wounded, you know, and a lot of players played who were probably 60, 70% fit. And fair play to the managers. We grinded out a win. I get it. Oxford aren't at their best, but you still have to go and win away from home. And too many times this season, we've played a lot better and gone ahead and lost games. So we scored two counter-attacking goals. And then the second half, we just dug in and we just grinded. Even against 10 men, we were on the ropes, defended well, you know, really fought for that result. They're the kind of results you do win promotions on, where you're not at your best. You're licking your wounds. You're physically feeling stretched. You know, you're losing your best players. Joe Ward goes off after 10 minutes with a knee thing. You know, Ricky's obviously not available. Jack Taylor's just come back. Fuchs, he misses a fitness test. Your goalie's half fit because he's got a dead leg and the next goalie up is an 18-year-old. You know, it's three of your central defenders have all got issues, including one who played with a heel issue before the game. Poku hasn't played for 2 weeks, passed the fitness test late to play. You just got all those things going on. And it's kind of like, okay, we'll take a win anyway.
You don't know what you're going to get when you go into it, do you?
You don't. I'll be really honest with you. I've almost written it off. Fair play to the manager. He didn't. You know, it was like, no, you go out and fight and you go get something. You know, you put a flag in the sand and fair play to the players. Because I can be critical of the players, but I can also, you know, praise them as well. So fair play. But that's the barometer now. They can't fall off that now. That's the stick. That's the flag. Now they have to kick on with that. And they have to go, no matter who comes in or who's available, it's next man up, and you go out and win. And that's what we said about a squad. A fair play to Efron Clark. You know, a lot of criticism when we bought him from Barnet. You know, that was his proper debut from the start. And he filled in for Ricky, and he created both the goals. And that's what you want. That's what I spoke about before, about players. You get called up, and you come in.
Get your chance. You know, take your chance.
Take your chance. And did we miss Ricky? No, because Efron created two goals. Of course we miss Ricky. He's super talented, and he'll be back, thankfully, soon. But now he's general competition. You've got Efron. Randall starts stepping up. You got him. You know what I mean? Ajiboe comes back in. You got him on the other side with Poku. Do you know what I mean? So there does that. And to be fair, the other one who I have to call out especially is Hector. Hector Cipriani was tremendous. He was like a Rolls Royce on Saturday. The manager even called it. You know, young player we brought in the summer. Came in for Fuchs. He just glides around that pitch. He was magnificent. So you want your squad players to step up. You know, instead of moaning about not being in the squad, not being in the team, when you get your chance, take your chance, stay there. Because this management team are really honest. They pretty much, like, if you play well, you stay in. Doesn't matter if you're against a big name. You know, that's what they're like. And I think as a player, you want that in a manager. Because there's no point in a player comes in and bedazzles and does great and then suddenly needs to drop when the person's fit. They want to believe the manager when he says, get your place,
yeah, otherwise, keep your place. What's the motivation to keep on doing it if that doesn't happen?
Correct. So, no, it was a grind out. It was, I'll take that. Two home games coming up. We've got to do the business now at home. And that's it, you know, and that's all you can do. I said this to you, you know, last week I was a bit irritated with the Wickham thing. It's time to get the engine started now. You know, it's time to, like, go from second gear, third, fourth and fifth and really go bang, 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 bang. So I know we have it in us. So now can we go on a proper run? You know, we're into the next round of the cup, tick. Mm-hmm. We're now winning in the league away from home now consistently, tick. You know, can we now string 6, 7, 8 wins together? Because with this league and the teams above us, you're going to have to do that if you want to be part of those races.
Yeah, the teams above you, you know, they're still winning. There's no let up there.
That's it. I think it's going to be like that. It's going to be like that. You know, a lot of those teams won't let up. And if they do, it'll be 1 or 2, 3 times at most, which means there's no let up for you. The head starts over, you know, that you give them. You can't shit the bed. You have to keep going. So, yeah, look, long way to go. But again, promising signs. And that little away thing that was irritating everyone, you know, that's two out of the last three games away from home won. You know, MK Dons, Saturday, Wickham were leading, lost, but should have won, you know, done better. So there's promising signs there. So we just have to amalgamate that with really good home form. And yeah, all good. It's all good from a posh perspective.
Yeah, and you got Accrington, is it Tuesday or Wednesday night this week? So we recorded
Tuesday,
Monday,
yeah.
So you got them tomorrow. And then you got Cambridge at home on Saturday.
Two tough ones.
Yeah.
Two toughies.
For the Cambridge game, do you prepare differently when it's a local derby? Or
it's a good question. No, my manager, he won't care about the Cambridge game until Friday.
Yeah.
You know, right now the only emphasis is on Accrington. You know, because that's the respect you have to give. And they're no mugs either. So we have to beat them. And then all eyes turn to the Cambridge game. How do you take a derby? Having played Northampton a few, we've never experienced a Cambridge one. Forget about the fact they've lost five in a row or six in a row. It's like Everton Liverpool, isn't it? You know, it's form goes out the window. So again, I'll be respectful and go, Accrington's the focus. Let's do our job there. And then we worry about the sellout derby. You know, hopefully the fans, we can, you know, give them what they want. And you know, it'll be exciting. And hopefully, you know, the week for us is, the manager spoke about it being a 9-point week. We have to try and maximise that.
And you got Salford at home in the first round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, we did. Unfortunately, Wrexham are the new Salford, so they got the TV money. We thought we might get a quick TV.
Missed out on that by a year.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Salford doing really well. I think they did lose on Saturday, though, to Stockport, I believe.
Yeah.
But genuinely been doing really well. Again, it's the Cup. And we have shot the bed in the Cup the last few years to lower league teams. So, you know, we have to, if we're not on it, we'll have a problem. So, but we need a cup run for the money. So we need to make sure we're on it. We only have two league games in November, I think. So it's really weird. So obviously the World Cup's coming, you know, the FA Cup's starting. Yeah, it's going to be, who did you get in the FA Cup, by the way?
We got Harrogate at home.
Oh, you don't like Harrogate, do you?
Well, it's funny, you know, we always had trouble with them. Mm. So we lost.
You beat them this season, didn't you?
We beat them this time away. Let's see if we broke that duck or not. I guess time will tell. But at least it's a home draw. It's against somebody who's beatable. And I say that without being disrespectful to them, because we have beaten them. So it could have been worse.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's all you look at. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're at home. You want a home tie in the Cup. It's up to the players now to play for their maximum, you know. So it's the Cup. And you had a draw on Saturday, no?
We did. We drew. So we lost to Burton in the Papa John's 4-0. We never even showed up, but still got through to the second round.
Fair play.
Such as the Papa John's Cup, I guess. And then, yeah, we drew 0-0 away at Grimsby. So one, I was glad that I didn't cause us to lose by saying it's a place last week on the pod that we typically go and do okay at. Full credit to Grimsby. I mean, they're a different proposition to when the last time we played them was obviously when they went back down again, but really turned things around. The atmosphere there was fantastic. You know, the fans really came behind them.
Who was the better team?
We had the first half, they had the second half.
Okay.
You know, man of the match for us was our goalkeeper by far. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, we were probably, while we never tried to settle for a point, we were happy to get a point.
How are those throw-ins coming into your box?
We didn't get that many.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So, no, it was pretty, you know, on the floor stuff, mostly. So, again, you know, would I have liked to have won? It would have been great to win. We would have won five in a row for the first time since the 80s away from home if we had. But I'll take the point.
Listen, that's the ingredients. Win at home, take your point in the road,
yep.
Move on. You do that all season, you're getting promoted no matter what league you're in. So,
yep. And we got two home games coming up as well. So we got Swindon tomorrow night and then Crawley on Saturday.
Okay. Have Crawley had an uptick since they sacked the manager?
They
won on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that maybe they're just outside the bottom. Let me have a look at the table where they are right now. Yeah, they're 21st now, so I guess they've got a couple of wins. So turned it around a little bit from where they were when they sacked him.
Swindon, I think, won on Saturday as well, didn't they? 2-1 of memory.
Yeah, they were at home to Hartlepool. They won 2-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, decent couple of games coming up.
Yeah. You know, we've been, one of the differences for us this season is our goalkeeper. So we've, you know, not had a truly, you know, an outstanding goalkeeper for a long time.
Tell me his strengths.
His footwork, you know, his footwork first, his play out from the back, his distribution is great, but his saving, you know, I've not seen a goalkeeper who looks out of place like that since we had Mark Schwarzer back in the day. He came from Germany to the UK, played for us for three months. Class. You basically knew the first day that you saw him that we're not going to keep him for very long because he was, you know, better than that level. So he feels just like he's better than the level that he's at.
Is he tall?
Yeah, he's not a giant, but he fills his goal. You know, he's not 6 foot. I think he's probably 6'1", 6'2", something like that.
I have to get the scouts down there.
Yeah, just there'll be a big number on him.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, we talk about how, you know, we wonder how long he'll hang around for. I guess if, you know, offers come in, it's a good problem to have, and that's the kind of club that we want to be.
Yeah, you know, it's one area. I've never really made any money from goalkeepers. It's really funny. You know, it's one of them things, you know, like I don't know about you, you know, but you don't see a lot of lower league goalies going for money, do you? You just, it's not really the thing.
No, I think, that, you know, we've had goalies that have gone on and done good things, like John McLaughlin we had, who went on to Rangers. But no, Mark Schwarzer was probably the last one, and that was when we were in the old championship.
We paid like 250 grand for Bobby. Oh, it was the last time we paid for a goalie.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, interesting. So, but yeah, because we're obviously, yeah. We've obviously got a lone goalie at the moment, who's doing exceptional, by the way. But we've got a couple of good young'uns. We've never, ever really turned a you know, for a club that sells players, quite famously, we've never sold a goalie for big money. We had Joe Lewis that was Leeds one for the buy-in, but, you know, we never got a substantial bid. But, you know, we paid $500,000 for Joe Lewis. And he's one that I look back on as a regret. He should have gone to the very top. He had all the tangibles to be top, top class. England called him up to the 21s, then to the train with the main squad, and we had him. And it just, you know, you won promotions, but it didn't, yeah, it never happened. Anyway, sorry, babbling. What else are we talking about?
So we're happy that we've got he was, you know, man of the match by far, pulled off a lot of good saves as he always does. And, you know, he just talks about the fact how he actually made his professional debut, or his EFL debut with us in start of the season. He's been in Southampton's under 23s for years, which is where Mark Hughes knew him from.
Great academy. Great academy.
And he'd gone on loan, I think, to Scotland, but he'd never played professionally in England. And he says at the moment, he just wants to be somewhere where he's loved. You know, it's not about anything else. He just wants, which is what he's got.
Love that. Great attitude. He'll go far. Mm-hmm. Unlike a lot of those youngsters who, you know, well, if I go out, you know, I want to, you know, obviously be looked after and the main man. And then, you know, I'm not going to sign permanently. But I'll come on loan. I like that, you know. How long have you got him for?
I think it's maybe 2 or 3. It's probably 2 with a club option for a third or something.
I'll let you know next week when I speak to his
You've got, you know, you've got yourself a keeper. You don't need a second one right
we
now.
We do. Listen, I'm already in for our keeper's agent. He's Jack Grealish's agent, funny enough. He's a pal of mine. And like, you know, all goes to plan. We're in the champ. We'll be having him back for the champ. So yeah, you're absolutely right. That was the whole idea. We always looked at it as a 2-year thing. You know, or God willing, all goes to plan. But yeah, keep listening. Good keepers, tough to find.
So there's lots of talking points, I think, from the Premier League this week.
Sure. Where do we start?
Well, I got to start, unfortunately, with Liverpool.
Ugh, I watched that.
Yeah, how was it? I didn't see the game.
Yeah, I got up at 7 in the morning, our time, to watch it. When I saw the team named, I thought, there's an upset in the cards here. I think Liverpool lost Thiago and Darwin Nunez before kickoff. I don't know what's going on medically with Liverpool. I don't know. You know, they're having another one of them horrendous. They seem to every 2 or 3 years throw in one. 2 years ago, it was all the centre backs. It was, you know, constant chopping and changing at the back, and they still finished third. This year, it's across the team. You know, the two centre halves missing. The midfield have had constant problems. Curtis Jones now finally back. Thiago's injured again. He is made of glass a little bit, unfortunately. God love him. And he's our best midfielder. Fabinho, miles off the pace at the moment. Jamie Carragher or somebody say, looks like he's got something on his back that he's chugging. You know, Jordan's obviously older. James Milner's 38. You know, Harvey Elliott really has been the standout. So it was one of them games where you just knew that if Forrest got a chance, they'd score and we weren't going to score. We'd probably still be playing today and wouldn't score. And now we've lost Diaz. Nunez was missing the other day. Obviously, the Portuguese boy is missing now for, I want to say, till after the World Cup as well, Jota. So we've got issues. I mean, I feel for Jurgen. Do you know what I mean? And look, he'll play whatever he's got in front of him and he'll try and grind out wins. But the other thing I would also say, putting the injuries aside, Liverpool are probably now a worse team away from home than Posh were. You know, we struggled for a while away from home, now we're stringing wins together. But Liverpool have got a real problem away from home. I don't think they've won away from home in the league this season. And, you know, that's a problem. You know, and the worst part is we've played Fulham, Forest. Not like we've played Man City away.
No, it's not something you expect from a Liverpool team, is it?
No. So, I don't know. Liverpool are going to have one of them decisions to make after. The World Cup's probably going to come at the right time for Liverpool. You know, to get a bit of a break, get away from all of this aggro. We can string a couple of wins together before the World Cup, get to the World Cup, reassess where they are in December, and then they got the transfer window in January. You know, first mission is top four. Got to make sure we're top four, put the season behind us, get on to next year, and let's give Jurgen the central midfield tools he needs. Most of the money they're going to have to spend is going to have to be in that area of the park. And unfortunately nowadays, that's not cheap, is it? You know, you want a Declan Rice, 150 million. You want a Bellingham, which I've always said there's no chance, you know, he'll come to us. That's 120 million. You know, you're talking about a quarter of a billion quid to buy them two. The only thing about buying them two, you would have players for the next 10 years.
Yeah, you got resale value.
So you've got resale value, but you've got two players that will probably play for the next 10 years in your team. So if you equate 250 million over 10 years, it's 25 million a year you would have to invest in your central midfield area.
Yeah.
So that's the way you got to look at it when you're a club that size. So the worry is, if Man City went out and bought them two, they may as well just hand the trophy over to them every year. You know? Just like so. So yeah, Liverpool have got problems. Fair play to Forest. Grinded out the win. But yeah, a team like Liverpool shouldn't be losing at Nottingham Forest. And if Man City had gone there on Saturday, Man City had won again 5-0.
Now, how about Newcastle? I mean, they won 2-1 away at Tottenham. Eddie Howe was doing a fantastic job. And
Brilliant.
It's not like it's, you know, got rid of all the old players and spent, you know, £1 billion on 20 new players since when he took over either.
What stood out about that game yesterday is very simple. The two goal scorers were Wilson and Almiron. Well, they were there before all the oil money came in. And, you know, when you look at some of the performances, no, listen, he has got them purring. And that's a dangerous club. You know, we saw way back in the day when Keegan was there that when Newcastle go on a run, they can turn into a bit of a monster and a giant. You know, we were talking about for 4 or 5 years, Newcastle every year competing for the title. It was Newcastle, Man United. They were always thereabouts. So, you know, they haven't even stretched their wallet yet. They haven't even flexed their financial muscles. It's scary, really. So they're in the top four at the moment. If they ended up in the Champions League, because they obviously have financial fair play to get it, it's the way you can get around, you know, spending big money. You get in the Champions League, they can write checks like we've seen. Not only that, players will come.
Yeah.
Players will come that they might not have been able to get before because of the geography, and everyone wants to go to London, and everyone wants to be in a, you know, places they deem to be city sexy and whatever, which is unfair because Newcastle's a great place. But they could be a force to be reckoned with. And that's really going to be really interesting. So fair play to Eddie Howe and his staff and everything else, you know, and Dan Ashworth. You know, I know the media like to jump on them and back them and everything because of the whole, you know, the human rights thing, the this, that, whatever else. But fair play to all the people who are putting it together because they're doing a great job there.
Yeah, I think I read something this morning about how Eddie Howe would be in the top six based on his performance over the course of a full season from when he took charge, including, you know, what he took over last year. And I mean, it puts into context that it's not really just about what he's done in the summer, but he's really turned the club around from when he walked through the door.
I once took a flight from Spain to go and meet Eddie Howe to be our manager, you know, way back when. Mm-hmm. When Bournemouth were in League Two and Posh were in the Championship and I'd lost Fergie the first time. You know, we'd obviously, you know, could say this years later, we'd gone to the agent, we'd agreed a deal and all I had to do was meet him. And, you know, this is way back when, and I was flying in to meet him. And I landed in the UK and he cancelled. His agent had cancelled the meeting. He'd had second thoughts. Fair play. But I always knew back then how talented a manager he was. And it didn't work for him at Burnley. But obviously what he did at Bournemouth and now obviously at Newcastle. I read a great article in The Athletic where he'd moved his family. His kids were in school there. You know, he settled. Because I always knew that was a big thing for him, his geography. His family were growing up in Bournemouth. He loved where he lived. And now he's actually moved them lock, stock to Newcastle. So that's commitment. Newcastle are just on an upward trajectory. Brilliant technical director and director of football. Ownership now that's solid, who want to invest in the team, the infrastructure, the academy. Actually, a very good academy. A very, very good 11. Squad will get better. You couldn't say it's an exceptional squad, but that's going to take transfer windows. A fan base that's so thirsty for success. that they can drive them to success. If they end up getting top four, they win manager of the year. And it'll be frightening that come transfer window time in January, if they're in the top five and even a shout, they're going to be able to go get players that might not be able to get 6 months ago. So again, interesting times. And this is where I worry about Liverpool. If they don't invest and keep Jurgen's team, give Jurgen the tools to stay there. If we fall out of the Champions League, how long are we going to be out for? That's the worry.
As you saw with Arsenal, it took a long time to get back, to build it back up to that kind of squad where you're competing again.
100%. 100%. You could be out 6-7 years.
So moving on to Chelsea Man United. So 1-1 was the result, but my question was really about Ronaldo, as I think everyone's been talking about. What do you make of the situation and how Man United are handling it right now?
I agree. I like what the United manager's doing. I'd said it on the BBC show that I do once a month the other day. I'd like my manager to drag him in the day after the game and put him in the dressing room in front of the whole squad and ask why he felt he had to take the gloss off a magnificent win and to explain his actions to everybody. Because to act like a petulant, spoiled little brat, you know what I mean, who storms off, leaves a game that you're winning against the really, really top-class opposition, it took the gloss off that game. Because all I read the next day was all the headlines about Ronaldo. I've seen all his mates come out in Sky Sports and defend him and everything else. Enough already. I'm a massive Ronaldo fan. I think he's a better player than Messi. But I think his behaviour and doing what he's doing, it's wrong. And it's backfired on him. And I think the United manager is winning that battle. You know, whereas Ronaldo probably thought, well, I'm Ronaldo, and, you know, we'll see. So fair play to the new manager. He doesn't take any prisoners. He doesn't take any shit. And he'd do exactly what I'd want my manager to do. So they have to move on from Ronaldo now. It'll be forgotten in time. It won't affect his legendary status there. But best for him that he goes in January somewhere else.
Yeah, you think that's the inevitability, that they will kind of keep him till January and then let him go then, or just cut their losses now?
I don't know if they can cut their losses, because the check you'd have to write. I do think that in January, they can do a deal that can basically suit all parties, right? They don't have to write a £100 million check. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he can end up going to Europe. He can end up going wherever. It depends. If he has a good World Cup for Portugal, he'll be in demand again in January.
Yeah. Yeah, for him, I guess it's just about getting to the World Cup and trying to prove himself again.
Yeah, but the other way you should look at that as well is, if he's super fit going into the World Cup, is his engine won't have been tight for minutes. You know, and the other thing I read as well is, he's actually the Portuguese side, and the fans have turned a little bit against them in recent games where they wanted him in and out. So maybe Father Time's catching up with the GOAT.
You know, it's difficult to know when it's the time, especially when you have been at the highest level for so long.
Correct.
And you don't want, you kind of want to go gracefully.
His ego won't allow him to do that. That's the problem. I mean, the best thing he can do now is, he came out with a statement that was a lot of crap. There was no apology in it. Come out and be humble and say, look, I messed up. You know, there's no greater good than the team. This is about the team. I'm going to step away. I'll train with the under-21s. I'll find a new club. You know, good luck to the manager and the squad. They're all great people. And I don't want to be a distraction. That's the best thing he can do, and come out and do. If he came out and did that, he'd have so much more respect for everybody involved. But he won't. His ego won't allow him to.
Now, if I'd have had money on who would get fired first, whether it would be Frank Lampard or Steven Gerrard, I would probably put my money on Frank Lampard. So were you surprised to see Steve G go?
I mean, you'd have put money on Brendan Rodgers being the first manager to be sacked out of all of them. And fair play to Brendan with the wins they've now put together. I really wanted to work for Brendan. The Steven Gerrard thing went toxic very quickly. And typical footballers, I actually looked at their win on Saturday or Sunday against Brentford and thought, you know what, that's just typical of footballers. Like, you've got a manager fired. You decide to perform when he's fired. And that just shows you sometimes the power of a dressing room. What does that tell you, that result? Because Brentford are no mugs. So, you know, shocking. Shocking.
Yeah, they've got the talent and they obviously tried, you know, to almost like prove a point.
So I don't know why it didn't work out with Stevie there, because he was phenomenal at Rangers. I think he suffered when he lost Michael Beale. I think Michael Beale was a big part of what he did. Critchley obviously went in there from Blackpool. Obviously hasn't been as effective as maybe Beale, which surprised me, because Critchley's a good coach. But they obviously have different types of coaching. Beale, what he's doing at QPR, shows you how important he was to what Gerrard did at Rangers. I don't know where Stevie goes next. He needs to take some time out, because that next job now is the most important one. But sometimes that third job, if you get that wrong, you know, unless you're Gary Monk, whose agent's been unbelievable and gotten like 6 or 7 of the top jobs in a row, I don't know where you're going. So I was sad for Stevie. I watched it. I saw it. You know, a legend like him. And to hear the fans turn against him like that, yeah,
Do you think Stevie G will stay in the Premier League with his next job?
No, I don't. Who's going to hire him? I don't. Does he go back to Rangers if the Rangers manager gets the sack? Does he go to Europe, take a European job? Does he go to the MLS? I don't know. Is there a championship job that he's probably going to, I must say, look down his nose at and go, well, unless it's the right project? I'm not sure. And the problem there is if you go into the championship and take the wrong job, then you're done and dusted. So it's a difficult one, but he's obviously a good coach. He's obviously a good manager. You don't take Rangers for their first title in 10 years and do what you did there and, do well in Europe without being a good manager. So the Villa thing just hasn't worked. The other thing I'd say as well is the recruitment hasn't been brilliant either. And he's responsible for that. He brought Coutinho back and some of the players, but they haven't hit the floor running. They spent the Grealish money, and those players they spent the money on haven't come off yet. So that hasn't helped. Some of the things he did, haven't helped in there himself. Maybe he'll learn from it. But, he's too good a manager with success in Scotland to be written off after one bad stint at Villa.
How about Critchley? Is his reputation based on his work at Blackpool still?
He'll get a job all day long. Yeah. If West Brom had any sense, they'd go and get him. I don't know if West Brom would fill the role.
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
You know, Critchley was I always thought he was top class at Blackpool. Did unbelievable for them. The season they got promoted, last season in the Championship. He's got to be a favourite for any good job that comes up in the Championship. Critchley's got to be at the top of the list all day long. He won't be able to work for long.
And the couple that, because there's a lot going on, I want to cover all the games. So Leeds 2, Fulham 3.
He's in trouble. He's in trouble.
Jesse March is, he always seemed like it was, it was a bit of a experiment. He's in kind trouble. Of higher.
Yeah, they lose the next game. I'd put money on him being in big trouble. So, yeah, that's the, what else?
And then we got Wolves 0, Leicester 4. So Wolves
Strange decision.
Yeah. They approached Michael Beale. He said no. Give him the job to Steve Davis, I think, for the season.
Ex-crew manager, right? That's a strange one, yeah. They might be revising that if they have another couple of 4-0 losses.
Let's go around the leagues a little bit. Let's see what we have. So in the Championship, let's see what we got that's interesting results. So Sheffield United have been dropping a little bit.
Down
to fifth now. I know there's only 4 points in it still, but...
Run out a bit of steam in the last like 5 or 6 results. Don't know if it's injury related or what it is, but they're too good a squad not to be up there. So don't be surprised. They'll find their wind again.
And Blackpool talked about Neil Critchley earlier. They got the spoils in the derby, 4-2 against Preston. I think unusual for Preston to score 2 goals in a game this season.
Unusual for them to concede more than one.
I know.
So, Blackpool are firing, they're scoring goals. Appy's got them playing, fair play to him, because I don't think there was a lot of fans that were overly excited about him going back there. So he's definitely, doing very well. Coventry won again, told you not to worry about them.
Yeah, they're moving up nicely. They got 3 in hand now, and they're just a point out of the relegation zone, which is actually great to see, because, you get into that, you start looking at how many points you've got versus the rest, and they can have a negative mindset. So
absolutely, it's a mental
that
thing.
Could really have affected them, I think, more than it has done.
I told you, they'll be top 10.
It's interesting when you look at the table, you've got Millwall doing well, QPR doing well, Blackburn doing well. Is this a sign that, it's not necessarily just the ones that get relegated are going to be challenging?
Let's see at the end of the season. Because it's usually, the parachute payment clubs are the ones who will. Last year it was Bournemouth and Fulham. So, and obviously then Forest won in the playoffs. But let's see at the end of the season. Right now it looks even Stevens. There's so many teams that could be doing well. Your Lutons of the world. The underdogs are doing well. But let's see how it shakes up by the end of the season. That'll be the interesting one.
A couple of other derby games we had looking at this. We had Swansea
beating
Cardiff.
Yeah. Big win. Yeah. They're purring again. Yeah.
And then Watford beating Luton 4-0.
Yeah, I saw that. That was an unbelievable result, though. Again, you'd expect Watford. That result shouldn't look abnormal, but it's only because of how well Luton have done. That's why it looks abnormal. But Watford's Premier League squad should be beating teams like that 3 or 4-0. But knowing Luton, they'll probably win 2 or 3 in the spin after that defeat. So, because they're that type of team. Like I said, Championship, it's just so unpredictable.
And then if we go into League One, let's see what stands out there. What stands out for me still is MK Dons, now bottom of the table.
They lose again on Saturday?
Yeah, they lost at home to Wickham. And, you know, I thought they were going to do really well this season.
No, I don't know why people thought that. And look, they might still do or whatever, but they sold a lot of the family silver, which sometimes you have to do. A lot of talent left the club in the summer. You know, 5-6 of the main bits of talent that had them on the run last year went. I've always said you can lose one or two if you sell 5 or 6. That's a problem. And then they brought a lot of loan players in. And when you're trying to, the style they're playing and you're trying to get that style across, you know, those players need to be your players. So that'll be interesting because their manager, you know, up until 3 months ago, was highly coveted, talked about, the director of football. Everyone was singing their praises. This is how quick football turns on you, right?
Markham got a win to move off the bottom against Barnsley. That was probably the other standout score that I saw. But, you know, other than that, it's, you know, you got Plymouth and Ipswich still you know, getting the points. Plymouth got a draw this time around. Sheffield Wednesday got a draw. But they keep putting the points on the board.
Like I said to you, if you want to chase them all down, you've got to keep winning.
Yeah.
So tough, tough league. What about League Two?
And then into League Two, we have Leighton Orient back top of the table. Although they won 3-2 away at Carlisle, actually. So that was a pretty good result because Carlisle have only lost 2 all season.
Not an easy place to go and win it.
No, we talked about that last week. And I've had my fair share of depressing drives away from Carlisle as well.
I've been there twice. Luckily, I flew in and out, so it wasn't so bad. But it was still a depressing flight on the way back. So, yeah.
We have, yeah, so we talked earlier, Stockport beat Salford 2-0 at
Salford. Good result. Good result.
Stevenage 2, Northampton 3. So that was the top 3 playing against each other.
Bit of a derby, that one, you might say, you know, that neck of the woods. So, yeah, that was an impressive win for Northampton, you know what I mean? So, it's, yeah, where are you in the league now? Are you still top 6?
Yeah, we're 6th. So, I mean, it's pretty bunchy, for the want of a better word. So, you know, a defeat, you can go down to 11th.
But, oh, jeez.
Yeah, 6th in the league. I mean, 1-7, played 4. Sorry, 1-7, drawn 4, lost 3.
How far are Stockport out of it? Because they've beaten you now, and they've just gone to Salford and got a win. So that tells me they're getting their act together and adjusting. How far out of it are they?
Yeah, they're 10 points out at the moment.
Yeah, don't write them off.
No. No, they'll come good. They're one of those like Bolton did, you know, came from nothing because they're too talented not to.
That's what I mean. It's good manager, good setup. They'd be my dark horse to fly to the top 3. And then I see a non-league Wrexham, I think, drew, didn't they, at the weekend?
They did. They drew a Notts County 1. I wanted to bring up Macaulay Langstaff. So he's Notts County. He signed for $50,000 in the summer, which is a good number for a National League side.
It's Notts County, though. Come on.
Yeah. But he's got 16 in 14 so far this season.
26, though, isn't he? 26.
I didn't see his age.
Yeah, if he was 20, 21, everyone would be trying to buy him.
I wondered if he'd ever been on your radar at all.
No, you know, unfortunately, on the scouting, the only player that's gone over the age of 24 that we try to sign for non-league was Jamie Vardy. You know, a lot of the time on the metrics we have, anyone over 24, 25 is a very low probability they're going to play well in the championship. It's just, that's something I designed when I did all the scouting. So, and I haven't really been proved wrong massively on that. But he's obviously a goal scorer. Somebody will take a punt. Maybe Bradford should buy him in January.
Well, with Andy Cook scoring the goals still, although he didn't this weekend. But
hey, listen, Andy Cook's not young either, is he? So, you know, there you go.
We got Vidane Oliver waiting for, you know, he hasn't really had much chance this season because Andy Cook's been doing so well.
Yeah, but there's a game on Saturday for him to come on and score and start making his mark, right? So, you know, we talk about players need to step up. You know, how did any other surprises in League Two?
No, not really. There was nothing that stood out there. So business as usual, I think.
Good. Well, let's address, obviously, the headlines recently about me on BBC.
Yeah, so you went and you cheated on us and went to
Posh fans are coming at me the same. And again, it's like, it's so frustrating. We spoke before we came on air about you're not allowed to have an opinion or talk hypothetically about anything where people getting sensitive and jumping down your throat. And I see the Telegraph have written a full article on it today. And it's just like, enough of, yeah, like enough of the clickbait, enough of the articles, enough. And even BBC put out like a clip and made it like, you know, to give some context for people who, you know, have been too lazy to not listen to the whole show. Pal of mine, Aaron, runs the BBC, the EFL 72 or whatever it's called, the show we do. And I'm obviously on it once a month. That's the, I agreed to, you know, I used to do once a week. So they came back to me in the summer and I said, look, I can do once a month. And he's obviously a massive AFC Wimbledon fan. I mean, massive. Work, you know, does work behind the scenes, just a lot of energy and love for the club. And he was asking me hypothetically, saying, look, you leave Peterborough in the summer. Are you coming back into football? And I said, yeah, eventually. My kids go to college. I've got two of them, you know, they're at home coming on Saturday. You know, I've got college trips. I've got college visits. My schedule from February through to the summer is just stacked with shit. So I said, you know, eventually, yeah, of course I'm going to be back in football. I love football. You know, I will always own another club. And he said, well, you know, in that situation, you know, hypothetically, you know, would you, you know, be interested in it? And I said, absolutely, 100%. You look at clubs, Bradford, I mentioned Bradford. You know, you put Wimbledon in there as a sleeping giant. Clubs that, you know, now have a brand new stadium, top 10 in the championship, what could they do? You know, that wasn't meant as an insult to Peterborough. It wasn't meant as a dig to the fans. Because I got fans going, well, you might as well go now. You might as well do this and that. You know, to question my commitment to the football club, there's nobody who gives more to the club than me. You know, to be fair, I'll probably put Jason in there as a close second. You know, he puts a lot of graft in, you know, whatever else. And of course, I don't want to leave Posh. But I said this, that it would be unfair of me to be involved at a club where 99% of my time and attention is going to be elsewhere. I don't think that would be fair to partners, to the club. You know, that's all I meant. I was trying to do the right thing. You know, I don't just want to suddenly rock up and go, hey, I'm taking a 1-year sabbatical and I'll be back in a year. It doesn't work like that in work and life. And you know, you're either all in or you're not all in, right? And, you know, my time and focus is always on the club. Again today, loads of stuff this morning to do at training ground and players in January and da-da-da-da-da. Not to mention sending a lot of money over to pay wages, you know, that's my time commitment to the club. You know, whilst I'm juggling, trying to get two kids to college. You know, and my third one won't be for another few years. So it's all those little nuances and, you know, I don't know. Maybe you can call me out and say I'm wrong about my approach to all of this, but I'm just trying to do what's right for me and right for the club and whatever. And maybe I shouldn't talk hypotheticals and do interviews and whatever else, but I'm only answering questions. I'm always really honest when people ask me. From now on, I'll go no comment. But everyone knows, and I told Posh fans, I will be back in football. You know, if Peterborough's for sale at the time, I'd probably bloody well go and take them back. You know what I mean? So that's just the truth. I love the game. I want to be in the game for a long time, but I do need a sabbatical. I need a little bit of period to do other things. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and you've always talked about the fact that it's all or nothing. So you couldn't, yeah. You know, because I see online people talking about, well, couldn't you be a silent partner for a year? Mm. Or, you know, couldn't you do this or couldn't you do that? And I mean, I don't think that from a headspace perspective, I know, you know, we talk a lot offline and I know that you don't have that ability to switch on and switch off. And so you couldn't do it.
No chance. And people will be calling me. You know, it'll just happen. I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet up. It will. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'll be in it. And I'll be, you know, the games, the this, the that, I'll be in it. It'll be nearly impossible. So that's what I meant. So again, I'm not apologizing, but I'm just saying to people who took it the wrong way. Again, there's context around it, you know, and I wish, you know, the paper did a whole article and then at the end of it put in there hypothetically, you know, like 3/4 of the way through. Wasn't in the headline. The headline was, it's just like, give me a break.
Yeah. At the end of the day, people are always going to be throwing clubs at you because there's lots of clubs in search of, you know, new owners or who would like their club to have new ownership or ownership that has transparency and that, you know, gives them what they think that they're missing in their current ownership. And so, you know, there's probably going to be lots of stories written about, well, what about this club? What about the other club? You know, how about these ones?
And that's all it was. It was a question. And I said at the time, I even said along the lines of, if there were other people involved and they asked me to be involved, you know, partner up or a consortium, of course. Absolutely. Definitely a Wimbledon. You know, Bradford get promoted. They won't be available in a year. You know, they'll be unaffordable. You know, so you know, there's certainly, you know, if you're looking to move on and get back in and you want to buy a club, Milan Mandrich did it with 3 clubs. You know, you're going to, you know, list the clubs and go, which are the ones that you think make the most sense to go in and buy? So, you know, that's just the way it goes. My business is sports and football. You know, so if I take a year out or whatever, I'm going to want to come back into that business. I feel I'm okay at it. I do okay at it. You know what I mean? I have a skill or a talent and something like that, and I want to go back and do it. So that's not a slight on the Posh. You know, I've given them 17 years of my life. You know, I bleed for that football club. So I just, like, it's unfair to be like, I'm not interested. I'm more interested than anyone in the club doing well. So, you know, the time I put in. So again, let's just relax on that, sir.
And the other thing to add is it's part of your legacy of,
correct,
you know, where the club is when that time comes. And so you're doing everything you can possibly do to make sure they're as high as you can possibly leave them.
If I could leave that football club top half of the championship, my job is done. My work is done. I've always said that in a really, really healthy place. But I won't go if we're not in a healthy place. I won't go if, in my mind, I need to be there. You know, that's for sure. I would never leave that football club high and dry. Not a chance. No way. Knew we. Not after doing 17 years of it.
So there's a couple of other topics for us to just touch on. The first one is related to Sky talking about axing EFL games due to poor viewing figures. Do you think that's because of ongoing negotiations around new deals?
I think that's a great clickbait, you know, to go into the negotiations and, you know, whatever. So probably Sky playing the game there. I don't know. You know, Sky, I think, are owned by Comcast now. Mm-hmm. I think. Is it Comcast who bought them? Yeah, who owns one of your favorite channels, MSNBC, and, you know, a few of the networks over here.
So. All those lefty libs channels.
Yeah, well, you knew that when they brought out the BLM badges a few years ago, you know, and insisted everyone wear them, you know, on air. So I don't know if that's the game they're playing. And again, please don't make headlines over a funny comment. So I'd imagine Sky are playing a game there. But look, Sky aren't going to have a choice because if Apple come in strong, if Netflix come in strong, if Amazon come in strong, if we decide to do EFL Plus, they can go on about we're cancelling games because of the lack of viewerships. Well, my answer to that would be do a fucking better job producing the show. You know, maybe get better presenters. You know, maybe get better commentators. Maybe put a bit more effort into who's the most talented and who's the most qualified over, you know what. That's the world we live in nowadays. You know what I mean? There's far too many. You know, I watch certain shows and I go, whatever else. And I go, you know, this. It's not the most talented people you're hiring. You're hitting a number. So maybe focus on that. Maybe the viewers will come back. You know, me personally, I just go, our product could be so much better. That goes for all the highlight shows. That goes for the actual shows themselves. I think they could be produced better. I think they could have better people commentating on them, presenting them. I just think we could up our game. You know, Amazon put together some really, really good football games. I saw them. I think Laura Woods was presenting. A couple of commentators were really good. You know, I sometimes I see some productions and I go, that's really, really good. I watch NFL out here. It's the same thing. You know, they some talented people. And then I look at Sky and I look at some of the ex-players they have commentating and whatever else. It's like watching paint dry. So with all due respect, you know, up your own game and maybe more viewers will tune in. Don't pick the same teams all the time that you're going to show over and over. Mix and match it up a bit. Don't know. That's all about product.
Do you think that, because back in the day, I would say Sky had a responsibility to show League One, League Two football because fans didn't have any other way to go and view it. Now, iFollow, you can now. Do they have that responsibility anymore because you can just go and watch on iFollow?
Oh, yeah, I think they still should show those games. I think, you know, we're in EFL. It's not the championship. It's called the EFL. So I think there should be League One games and League Two games. There should be. And there's enough big clubs in those leagues. Bradford are a massive club. You know, in our league alone, you've got Ipswich. I think Ipswich and Derby were on Sky TV the other night, weren't they? So naturally enough, that's going to get in the TV. But there's some cracking games, you know, to show. So again, you know, don't blame the people not watching. Maybe look at the product you're churning out.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was actually related to something you said earlier was around when we're talking about Newcastle and we're talking about, you know, that players may wanted to sign for clubs to play in Manchester or to play in London.
Is this about moving a training ground to London, is it?
So this is about Barrow, who now train in Salford. To try and make it more attractive for players to come to, you know, be close to Manchester, Liverpool, or Yorkshire rather than train up in Barrow. Would you do something like that if it meant being more attractive to players to come to the club?
I think you'd always look for ways around things. You know, I think Barrow, I've seen that beforehand, they're miles away. Barrow's only really, it's amazing they've done so well. The real chance of success is having an incredible academy from the local area. But then again, you're going to be really ring-fenced in on a nucleus of what you can bring in. So maybe that's not going to work. So I don't think it would work for Newcastle. I don't think it would work for some of the big clubs. You know what I mean? So it's an idea. If it helps Barrow, absolutely. You do what you got to do. I mean, they're a club who want to do better. And if they can't attract players because nobody wants to move geographically that far in the – I don't even know where Barrow is, by the way, but they're obviously in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, basically north of Sellafield. So you go as far as you can go in the Lake District, carry on going until you hit water, and then go north as far as you can go, and it's pretty much there.
You don't want to get an away trip in the FA Cup there, right?
No, I had a job offer up there once, and I thought, you know what, it's up north, so it's going to be pretty close. It was there or down in Basildon, and it turned out the Basildon was pretty much just as close to me as Barrow was, even though as a crow flies, it's, you know, like 60 miles away.
I guess they got to do what they got to do.
Yeah. How much do you believe that your players should be involved in community? Because that's one of the things that comes to me is if you're not training with community, then you're not living near the community. So you're not involved in the community.
Yeah, you're right. That's a big point, talking point. We have a foundation. So our players have to do loads of community work. And they should want to do it too, by the way. You know, that they are the superstars in the community. They are the local celebrities. You know, they have a responsibility. And the community is what pays their wages. You know, bums on seats is the community. And to give back to the community, our foundation does magnificent work. People always think we own the foundation. We don't. It's an independent run organization. We're trustees. And when they go out and get donations and try and raise money, it doesn't go to the football club. It goes to the foundation, who then run camps, who run charity events, who do all sorts of things to raise awareness to things in the community, to raise awareness for problems that we might have, to raise money and you know, our kids go to the, we go to the hospitals at Christmas time, and we do. This is a massive part of a footballer's job and an owner's job. I think it's like, so you're absolutely right. If you take Barrow and take them away and they're in Salford, the community is going to suffer. So it's really, really difficult. So you make a really valid point.
Yeah, because as a lower league football fan, you don't support your club because you think they're going to win every week. But you support the club because you feel connected
to your club. It's your club. It's in your community. You live next door. How many stadiums are in urbanizations? We call housing estates, you know, where you get to all these houses and there's a big block stadium right in the middle. You know, it's religion. So, you know, you ask Liverpoolians, you know, how important football is in the community and whatever else. My God, you get the answer. So, come on. It's like that up and down the country. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
So we have a question from Mr. Strong. Which doesn't look like Mr. Strong of the Mr. Men variety, which is what I'm used to from reading to my kids at the moment.
Very good.
He says he's a Coventry fan. What are your thoughts about the obvious sad demise of Wasps and the potential bidding war for the stadium, you know, and any potential bids for Coventry along with that at the moment?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate what's happened to Wasps. I don't know the full Scooby. I've just seen they've gone into admin, and I don't know if the stadium's owned independently by the owner of Wasps in another company. But is there an opportunity there for Coventry? Is there an opportunity for them to raise finance to buy the stadium back? I mean, that would be the greatest gift for the fans. A new stadium, obviously, they've been planning on, but it's nowhere near to happening. So, you know, if I were the Coventry owners, if I were people, you'd be like, okay, how do I raise the money to go and buy that stadium? How do I do a deal? Instead of paying rent every year, how do we get it back under the ownership and make Coventry a lot more attractive if they do want to sell? Because anyone buying invariably is going to want the stadium. And, you know, our club has its stadium now, yes, in a separate company, but it's all under one ownership group. So if somebody did want to buy us and take Posh to the Premier League, they can get everything, the stadium, training ground, club. Do you know what I mean? So it makes it easier. So for Coventry fans, like, you know, they're doing so well. You know, maybe they can buy the stadium. I don't know what it's worth. I don't know what the price of it is. But they now have players worth millions and millions. So maybe they can do some wheeling and dealing and make it happen.
It would feel like it would be a, given everything that Coventry has been through related to the stadium, wouldn't it be amazing for the club if they were actually in the control of their own destiny again?
Like AFC Wimbledon have done. You know, they come back from being dead and buried and they end up bloody building a new stadium, you know, you know where they are in Plough Lane. So, you know, fairy tales, you want that to happen. You want good stories in football. So if Coventry end up controlling and owning the Rico again, it would be fantastic. It'd be good for our game. You want these things to happen.
So we have a question from Paul from Peterborough. He says he's noticed a lot of the Posh players down the David Lloyd Centre in Peterborough using gym facilities and just wondered, you know, why are they using the gym instead of club facilities or anything going on with club facilities at the moment?
No, so good question. They're obviously irritating David when he works out, what was his name? Paul down at the David Lloyd Centre. Grant went and did a deal with David Lloyd for our players to get access. We have a gym at the training ground. It's not big enough for a squad of 30, 40 players to be in there at once. It's limited in facilities. It's part of another phase we have worked out at the training ground to improve the facilities, which obviously when we got relegated, you know, some of those things you have to put back. but we do want to build an all-purpose bigger gym than the one we have at the training ground. So the deal he did basically allows the players to use David Lloyd. And David Lloyd's been a partner of ours in that process, and we're very thankful. So let me know if our lads have been well behaved down there. And, you know, we don't know if that's
talking of community. You know, they're being out there and they're working in the community.
It's exactly what they're doing. So, yeah, absolutely. Well spotted, Tom.
And then a question from Tom. Tom says, what if money wasn't an object, what innovative ideas would you bring to English football to the supporter experience? So maybe things that you've seen that you thought, you know, that would be great for fans, but, you know, it's the ROI, maybe it's not going to drive it where we are right now, or things you may have seen in other countries or sports.
Are we talking about experience-wise while watching a game? Are we talking about facility-wise?
I think facility-wise and perhaps, you know, the experience outside of the game.
Newer stadia. You know, I love the NFL stadia. You know, you look at some of the new stadia that's gone up. I've always said this about the EFL. I'd say, 70, 80, if not higher, percent of clubs in the EFL have old stadia, including Bradford, including Peterborough. You know, you go to the big clubs, you know, newer stadia, you know, with better facilities for the club to make more money, to make cheaper tickets. I've always believed in that. I believe that if you have newer stadia, which gives you a bump on your increases of 40, 50% in attendances, and you have better wraps, commercial facilities around to bring in more money in, and if you've got funding to help you with that, you should be legally have to then reduce the price of your tickets to get more people in. That helps the fans. Better fan zones, better things for families. The more families you can get to games, the better, because you're investing in the future. The biggest killer for me is that, you know, there are some families that would move to Peterborough, and their experience maybe coming to our old ground isn't a great one. So they'd rather, if it was a brand shiny new ground and they came, they'd want to come back every other week. So we probably lose out on 2,000-3,000 fans that won't come, you know. But if we're in a new stadium, you would have it, which in itself is probably an extra 100 grand a home game, which per annum is £2.3 million per annum, which over X amount of years is millions more. So, and you can then make the experience better and use the money, you know. People say, well, you're not going to invest in the fans, but you are. You're going to make the experience for fans better, because it makes it better for you, because if the fans are happier, they're spending more money and they're staying there longer. So there's some of the things, you know. The what else would I say? The digital side of the game. I find, you know, events in the US are a lot easier to get into, to get out of, to buy than maybe in the UK. So that's something else. We're trying to invest in that. We're trying to make a lot more, you know, instead of having those old stewards on the gates and stuff for people to go in, and be more digitalized and special things for, you know, QR scanners and, you know, all those things. The stewarding experience may be less heavy-handed, less aggressiveness, based on judging a lot of fans based on a few gobshites who misbehave. You know, there's a bit of that criticism this year where our stewards maybe were living a little bit over OTT, you know, and I know that I think they've taken it down a notch since. So just a few things there alone. Being able to drink, you know, in plastic cups, eat hot dogs, you know, do things like that out and serve food in the stands. I hate the fact you can't do that. I hate the fact there's legalities against that and there's issues. I'm going to a Tampa game to watch the GOAT with my son and his two friends in 2 weeks. We'll be, you know, front row watching the GOAT play, and I'll have probably a hot dog and a couple of beers. Can't do that, you know, at a posh game.
And they'll keep on bringing them to you.
And they keep coming with it, absolutely, yeah. Bloody literally, some pretty girl in a pair of shorts and a short top, she'd be down there selling me hot dogs. Happy days. Yeah, I can't say that nowadays, can you? You can't do that in the UK.
I think that what I didn't understand until I started to understand the financing more behind, you know, football clubs, is the high cost of old infrastructure in terms of maintenance, in terms of not being able to do things that you think as a fan is basic. And so one example would be at City, trying to get cold beer. Everyone says, why can't you solve cold beer? Well, actually, because the infrastructure means you're pumping beer for a mile from the other side of the stadium before it gets to you. And if you want to change that, it's going to cost you £500,000.
We have that for years with cooking hot food over the other side. We couldn't get kitchens over there. The infrastructure didn't allow it. Then the new stand came in and that could be allowed to do that. You're absolutely spot on. There's loads of things you can't do because of the state. Our internet, always an issue on match day. We were quoted like nearly 700 grand to change it. Can't afford to do it. You'd love to be able to charge Wi-Fi, you know, to give the fans a better experience and make a few quid or do whatever, you know, or maybe, I don't know, season ticket holders get free Wi-Fi for X amount of game, you know, all those things. So you're absolutely spot on. Infrastructure, these old grounds. That's what I always spoke about, you know, a pot of money put out there that the EFL would operate and lend to clubs based on stadium improvements, or new stadia, or new stands. And, you know, I don't know, every year two clubs get to choose. And slowly, slowly, every year we're upgrading football clubs with new stadia. And if we did that, like the NFL collectively invests, they all put in and lend money for those clubs to build new stadia, because they know their product will be enhanced and better TV deals and better future if every stadium was brand new. They know it's just going to be so much better. You know, Tennessee have just got a new one approved. So they're all the things that, and we're talking about, by the way, $1 billion, $2 billion. You know, in England, we're talking about, you know, 10 million, 20 million, 30 million. It's nothing is, and of course, that's still high, but so much could be improved about our game. Yes, we talk about grassroots and we talk about pitches and we can still do that, but the actual fan experience that drives the interest in our industry is stadia, is match day experience. Like, if I was a fan going to a football game, I'd go 20 minutes to go to get into the game. If I was in America, I'd tailgate and go an hour and a half, 2 hours before a game.
I'd spend a fortune, you know, while you're waiting.
Five times the money I'd spend. So they're all the things that we still don't improve. You know, when we're talking about Sky moaning about viewing figures and everything else, you know, we're talking about independent regulators and we're talking about these are the things that we could really fix and make better about the game.
All right. Well, great answer. Thank you for the question, Tom. And we'll call that a day. So you got any questions, please keep them coming. You can go to hardtruthfootball.com/contact or contact@hardtruthfootball.com. When we get our Twitter account back, you can always DM us on there as well. And we'll catch the questions there. Lara, until next week, good luck. Coming couple of games.
And you. Big week.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thanks, everyone.